Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. It's the time of year for family and travel, and sometimes the question, now that we're all together, now what? We're glad they're visiting for the holidays, so where can we take them? There are plenty of places, of course, and we're interested in hearing your favorites. One place to consider, if the timing works out, is the Paramount Theater Center and Ballroom in Anderson. Gail Jones Burris is executive director. She gave us a tour the other day as crews were setting up for a show that night.
Hey, Dane. Is Dane here yet?
No, Dane's not.
Oh, okay. Is that Stereo Bob?
Stereo Bob and his wife and a friend that's setting up.
Cool. Well, welcome to the Paramount Theater.
This is a real community operation.
You
can't hire enough staff to do everything that has to be done.
I can't afford enough staff at all. So this place was built by John Eberson in 1929. He was an architect who built what's called atmospheric theaters. That's theaters that have an outdoor view on the inside. So if you would go down to the end of the stage and look up over the balcony, it would look like you're in a garden.
Yeah, we're walking along here, and what strikes me, I knew that there had been places, theaters like
mm-hmm.
this, but I actually haven't seen one in a very long time. They're so ornate.
Oh, it's beautiful. This was kind of his style. It's a Moorish style garden, and he wanted to build theaters that would be enjoyed by families, give them a little respite away from, you know, the stresses of everyday life. And this one was built in 1929, so there was a little bit of stress around that time. And we still have our original pipe organ, and we are one of only 12 of John Eberson's theaters left in the country. So we have a place on the list of National Historic Places, and we are run by a foundation board. And we love donations of any kind. We are home of the Anderson Young Ballet Theater. We are home of the Anderson Symphony. So there's a lot of community events that go on here. So come down here so everybody on the radio can hear you gasp when you look up into
I am gasping. No, I mean, because we're walking up toward the stage now, and on the walls, it's as if we're looking at the walls of a city. I mean, there
sure.
are columns and statues, and it's so ornate.
Yeah, there have been people who have gone to castles in Germany and, you know, different places in Europe, and they say it's very familiar to what they see there, which is really nice. And the whole design of the theater, as you walk into the lobby, was picked up by a lot of the movie studios during the California Panama exhibition in 1917. It's kind of like a World's Fair that was out in California, and it was showing the latest and greatest updates for architecture and stuff like that. So their idea was to build really elaborate theaters that would catch the eye of those returning GIs from World War I, from Europe, and they would feel a little bit at home, or they would say, oh yeah, this reminds me of, you know, such and such. So that was probably one of the first marketing gimmicks, in my opinion, that the old studios back then used to draw people in the theater. It used to be said that in our lobby, the show starts even before you walk in the door. So back in the 20s, or late 20s and early 30s, Anderson was a growing town. We were headquarters to Delco Remy America, world headquarters to Delco Remy America. General Motors had a lot of plants here. Fisher Guide Lamp had a lot of plants here, and there were about 78,000 people in Anderson, and they had more than 23 movie theaters, seven of which were on this street. There was a movie theater right across the street. And what's really great is back in the early 80s, this place had gone into such a disrepair that it was going to be demolished.
Like so many of them were, right?
Oh,
there
yeah.
were theaters like this all over the country.
Oh, yeah, and every successive owner that had the theater used it for something different. Some people use it as a church, some people use it as a theater. So as it fell into disrepair, and because it's cost so much money to fix, they just either give it back to the bank or leave town and take stuff with them. So there was a young attorney in town who worked across the street in one of the buildings. Her name was Leslie Davison, and she saw a show on public broadcasting narrated by Gene Kelly about a theater that whose community pulled together and restored the theater. She wanted that to happen to the Paramount, so she got together with some of her friends, Bill and Ann Hardacre, Tom and Bobette Snyder, and Jim Abraham, who became the project coordinator. They went to the county council and bought this whole facility for $1 from the county council 2 weeks before it was to be demolished. And they sat on, you know, doing all the stuff that you need to do, like becoming a nonprofit organization so you could receive donations. They worked really hard on getting status on the National List of Historic Places. Another person who was really a big part of that restoration was Larry Contos and his family, who owned the Payless grocery store. So they talked to people like Nabisco and, you know, really built up how much of a big community thing this is going to be. And so they set about a huge fundraiser where they raised about $3.7 million for the restoration of the theater. A third of that was raised by people in the community. There were bake sales, car washes, kids were saving pennies for the Paramount. So it was a really big, huge community effort. So we got that, donations and the promises for all the money and stuff, and then they set about just gutting the place and really taking it piece by piece and bringing it back. So it's a story that still continues because now we're restoring the restoration and just want everybody to come see how beautiful it is.
Well, they did a great job.
We have ballet, symphony, we have big band. Tommy Dorsey's orchestra is going to be here in April for a big band concert because we always have a big band series. And then, you know, we also do ballroom dance lessons every Tuesday up in our 1929 era ballroom, and it's the original dance floor from back then.
Gail Jones-Burris is executive director of the Paramount Theater Center and Ballroom in Anderson, a regional treasure, an incredible place to see, not to mention a venue for some good shows. Go to andersonparamount.org for their schedule and for information about tours.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
For some of us, it's hard to imagine Christmas without trains. Whirring around the living room on Christmas morning, a fixture of department store displays in days gone by, and you can still find a few big train displays. What's more rare is the chance to meet the train mavens behind the displays. And that's why I wanted you to hear from Larry Davenport of Anderson. Nobody in town puts on a display like Larry, who's had his trains running on time recently for the city's Winterfest. Now, this is going to be kind of a noisy interview. You'll hear what sounds almost like a waterfall in the background. What you're hearing is the sound of his Train Village display across a vast upstairs room in downtown Anderson.
I have 9 trains that are running and 8 trolleys and 4 vans. We run around. Now, of course, we've only got just a few on right now. We've got 2 on that table. We've got 1 on the other table, which I call Anderson City. And over there, clear over there by the back wall, I have a train running also.
This is a huge setup. We're in the size of kind of a large basement. How long does it take you to set up all your trains here?
It's taken me 4 years. Mm-hmm. I started 20 years ago collecting. This project here has been a 4-year project. I started off with that area over there, and I call that the cave.
And you're pointing to what would be anywhere else a very large train set.
Yes, exactly. This
I'm going to say it looks like about 20, 30 feet long.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, about 10 feet wide.
Right.
That's where you started. That was
yes.
just your beginning.
Right.
And now you have the equivalent of 5 or 6 times that much.
Over 500 square feet.
500 square feet of train.
Let's say Christmas Village. I have a Christmas Village and a train runs through it. I'll put it like that. This started out as a Christmas village in 1992. And now everybody said, well, it's the trains, because there's so many trains. But it's a Christmas village to me, but we've got all kinds of action with trains and trolleys and vans and a complete carnival with an awful lot of animation also. So we've got just a lot of action going on, and we've got something from a farm to the Twin Towers. We have something for everyone.
What's your background, Larry?
Retired from Delco Remy many years ago, okay?
What'd you do then?
I was just a general employee. I was an inspector. But I also had a business. I have the Larry Davenport Karate Studio.
Okay.
Here in Anderson.
Okay.
For 30 years it was in Alexandria. Now it's in Anderson.
Okay.
So that's what I do.
So what we're seeing here is a 20-year or more
project.
This is, I mean, a lot of us enjoyed trains when we were kids.
Sure.
Some people build them more elaborately. Do you take this down at the end of the season? Oh, this stays
this
up.
This stays here. Up,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
This is too big to take down.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so massive. You know, and it's real simple. I can tell you all day long how it is and what it looks like, and it's fantastic and all these things. And I just sound like I'm a guy that's bragging about whatever. But when you walk in here and you look around, especially when it's all running, you walk in there and most people, their jaw drops, their eyes get big, and they say, wow. And they mean it. And they can't fathom how big it is and how much detail there is. And the fact that when you walk in here, a lot of displays you walk in and you see them and you say, yeah, that's nice. I like that. That's pretty. I like that over there. But here, when you walk in here, a lot of people, it kicks in emotions. Oh, it brings back memories. I remember when I was a kid. Oh, I can't wait to see. This is great. Oh, my, how did you do this? You know, and I'd say, well, I just did it. I don't know. But you don't see things like this anymore. When I was a kid, you walked down to Anderson, Indiana, or went to Indianapolis, and the department stores were full of animated projects, whether it would be something that looked like a cuckoo clock display with men sawing logs, or it was a pirate ship, or whatever it is. There were so many things, and there were lights everywhere, and it was a different world, a different era. Nobody hardly does things like this anymore. So I just wanted to take this and share it with somebody. To me, now, it's kind of like creating a huge Christmas card where everybody can walk in and it's animated.
How long did it take you to set this up?
Okay, it's a 4-year project, okay? Over there, the first year comes around here, the second year. The Twin Towers was really big last year. It was my major project, and that was last year. And this year is lost in the 50s, and I have a horse farm, and I've got a forest area, a wildlife area, where there's a plane crash that's been there for a long time, and they just never have found the plane and got it out.
What else do people ask you?
How much money do you think you've got in this? And I say, I don't know, but it's a bunch.
Larry Davenport, the train man of Anderson, from his giant train village display in that city's downtown. A setup like that is a labor of love. You don't see too many of those anymore, and Christmas seems like the best season for them.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss, right here on Indiana Public Radio.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Every city has something they're proud of, and Anderson, which has seen its share of tough times, is still a proud city. One focus of the community's efforts and pride is the Paramount Theater Center and Ballroom, a relic of another age of incredibly ornate, grand movie houses and theaters. You walk inside and study the craftsmanship and detail. You realize how lucky Anderson was that the building was saved from the wrecking ball a few years ago. Now the theater's friends are looking for continued support, patrons for its many shows, and volunteers, as we learned in a visit with Executive Director Gail Jones-Burris.
This isn't a regular job. This is a labor of love.
This is a dream job. It's the hardest job I've ever loved. It's great to come in here every day. Sometimes I just come in and sit in the dark and hear the building breathe. It keeps you going when people who come, their jaw drops just like yours did, or when people come in with family they have from out of town saying, look at this place, look what we have. And it's really, really inspiring to see the pride that people have when they want to show off this place. So
the thing to do is to go online and see when the shows are
here.
And are you pretty booked up? I mean, do you have things every...
We have about 20 to 30 theater weddings a year. So our couples get married here in the theater, and then they go upstairs to our ballroom for the reception. And the summer months are pretty full with that. We have a lot of talent, dance talent competitions that are going to come this spring. And so usually our weekends are the busiest, which we love, but we can also would also love to talk with somebody about, you know, maybe renting the theater to do something during the week. United Way is working with us, along with Community Hospital Anderson, St. John's Hospital here. They're helping sponsor $2 family movie night. So on the movie...
Oh, you can show movies in here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a movie theater. There's two big holes up there where my projectors are. But we don't use those projectors. But what we do is we have a $2 family movie series. The next movie we're showing is Sherlock Holmes number 2 on December the 28th. $2? Where else can you get see a movie for $2 and get a box of popcorn for $1.50, freshly popped?
This is the coolest theater.
I hope you'll come back and bring about 250 of your best friends.
What advice would you have for other communities who are trying to save their downtown theaters?
Well, get somebody on your board who's a banker, get somebody on your board who's an attorney, and get someone on your board who is just ecstatic and very passionate about historic preservation, and get community leaders to come on board, because their passion and their excitement is contagious.
Part of what's at stake is that when places like this are gone, they'll never be made like this.
Oh, no,
again.
No. With the way the construction is on this building, there are no struts. It's all poured cement, 3-foot thick walls. Like they say, they just don't make them like this anymore. And it's true. I don't think a theater like this could be recreated with all the love and care that went into it. It's just amazing. It's cool in here when it's hot outside, and it's just a really great place to come and hang out.
There's a feeling of history here. There must be people who walk in. What's the reaction of the community been?
We have a lot of people that come in on tours who used to work here for Harry Van Noy, who was best friends with Gene Autry, which is why we had a lot of people come and perform here, I believe, like Tommy Dorsey and Benny Goodman and Count Basie and Johnny Cash and Will Rogers and Helen Hayes and Frank Sinatra. And then we have a lot of volunteers now who used to work here. So it's they really love and take ownership of the place, and that's what makes it more of a historic setting than just a building. And it's just, you know, I love to see a grandmother bring her daughter and her grandchild in, and they all look up at the ceiling and go, oh, wow. And that's when they start sharing memories down generations, and that's when the little bitties, you know, kind of get excited about it. We have the symphony works with the school system, and we bring in kids for a concert. Anderson Young Ballet also works with the school system, and we bring different grade levels in here. Whenever we have a tour of little bitty kids, the first thing we do is we all get up on stage and we sing, because then that way they can tell everybody they sang on the stage at the Paramount Theater. And it's fun. And every month we have a community open jam. The next one is December the 21st. We set up a bunch of equipment on stage, and bring your drumsticks or your guitar or your CD, and you can karaoke for free. Your friends can come and watch you. You just sign up at 6:30, and we go from 7 to 11. So pretty fun.
So it's a real community space. It's not some museum that's closed
up
that people can't.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know, nationally, there's kind of a hesitance of people to go in opulent buildings for the arts, you know, because they're beautiful and they're palatial and they're just, you know, really shiny and ornate looking. And first I was taking it personally, but I understand from the Indiana Arts Council that that's kind of the way that, you know, people feel. It's like going into a really big, beautiful church. You're a little bit intimidated. Well, I came on board in 2008, and we've really, all of us have been really trying to think of different ways to reach out to the community and be a part of that with the more mature adults. We, you know, we got the big band and we've got the ballroom dancing and stuff, but that's why we do the family movies and the community open jam, and we have the largest Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. citywide celebration in the state. Everybody comes in for a celebration of his legacy on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and you know, that's another thing. We have all kinds of community stuff during our Festival of Trees, which we just wrapped up last year. Last week, we have jazz bands, we have show choirs, we have Ballet Folklorico, the Anderson Group. So we try to get families involved as much as we can. Of course, you know, we also have the comedy clubs upstairs. We're pretty open to, you know, events where we can welcome the public and still afford to keep the utilities paid.
Gail Jones-Burris, Executive Director of the Paramount Theater Center and Ballroom in Anderson. Good place for one of their tours or to catch a show, the music nights, or other activities. Go to andersonparamount.org for their schedule and more information. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. Reminder that we also need your stories, ideas for places we should go, and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
Over there, you've got a carnival.
Yes, yes.
That's beautiful.
Yes, and it's got twin Ferris wheels. It's got a carousel. It's got the zinger and the flight school and just all kinds of different movement there.